6, almost 2:37 on the mighty 790 KFGO. A reminder, if you want to reach this program at any time, we welcome our listeners to call us at 237-5948 or 800-880-5346. Or you can text us. Send us a text message to 35270, 35270. And please include the word Mike so that I know it is directed at me. And so that's a great way to get a hold of us. You can also email us the old-fashioned way. Think about that, Scott Miller. I now refer to emailing as old-fashioned.
I've heard you do that before, and I have to snicker because you and I go back to when we were just putting cups between cans.
Yes, and when I first started, what now? What was I doing?
I think I'm mixing my metaphors.
I think you're talking
cups
about
with string.
Cups and cans. And yeah. I'm wondering, wait, what are we talking about?
I'm glad you called me on that because I don't know what I'm talking about.
Anyway, you can email us at kfgo.studio at kfgo.com and email us pictures of cups and cans. We'd love to have those come
it's
our way.
It's a great way to communicate, trust me. I'm not sure how, but...
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well.
I haven't had a chance to talk to you since the big football game on Saturday.
I know. I saw you at the Dome, and the Bison won the game, but it was a pretty somber affair.
Now, it was, but my argument the whole time has been that I thought, and what Scott's referring to is that when Grant Olsen got hurt early in the second half, there wasn't much energy in the Fargo Dome at that point. And some have pointed out, such as Daniel over there who's raising his hand right now, that it's like it just sucked all the life out of the Dome when Grant Olsen went down with injury. My take on it was that the Dome was dead anyway. There wasn't much energy the entire game. I thought that it was kind of the typical deer hunting opener crowd, and people, they were loud at times, but there just wasn't that jolt of electricity throughout the building for the entire game.
I think there's some fairness to that. I do. I know that since I not only broadcast the games, but I'm also mixing all of the sound, and it was not as loud through our parabolic microphone and our crowd microphones as normal. But I would say in the first half that I was having to turn it down because when Illinois State had the ball on offense, it was still pretty loud when the Bison were playing defense, and it was less so in the second half. But your point is well taken, and I go back to how about the difference that we have seen over the last 10 years in the size of the crowds on the Deer Opener weekend, because there were almost 18,100 seats sold for this game, and I told Jack and Sandy here about an hour ago that I tipped my cap to NDSU Athletics for being able to do that, because I can remember some Deer Openers where we might have had 8,000 or 9,000 people there.
Well, and that's true, and it's, you know, I sometimes get on NDSU fans for being spoiled with the success of their team, but maybe I'm getting spoiled as a media member too, because when I got to the Dome, I went, boy, crowd's kind of thin today. Well, wait a second. There was 18,000 people, and when I'm saying, boy, the crowd wasn't very good, well, yeah, it was.
You know, it was still very good.
It was still okay,
yeah.
And it was still loud, and there are, you know, 99% of FCS football programs would kill for what NDSU had at the Dome on Saturday. So maybe I'm no better than the spoiled fans.
The students weren't there in the kinds of numbers that we're used to, but because the students have today off, I think we kind of knew that going in, and the section, as I view the game from the home radio booth, and so it would be across from me and up to my left, that upper tier of seats where the students normally are, all the way up to the rafters, those were largely empty. But I didn't see any other big blocks of seats that were empty, and so it was a really good crowd. It didn't have the same kind of energy that we're used to, and the Bison, I think, after Grant Olsen went down, and I will just stick by my story that he is arguably the heart and soul of the team, probably the team leader. And so when his teammates saw him go down and they knew that it was a knee injury and that his career was probably over, I think it was emotional for them. I think it was hard for them to press forward, even though they did, and they kind of had to grind it out, and they won the game 28-10, but the last touchdown wasn't scored until a minute to play. The offense did what it always seems to be able to do in the fourth quarter. It put together an 8-minute drive. It kept the ball away from Illinois State, so I don't think that the outcome was never, ever really in doubt, but I do think that there wasn't the kind of energy for the team, and I think that the crowd sort of picked up on that.
Scott Miller, voice of the Bison, with us here on the Mike McFeely Show. So, okay, give me your assessment of my take on the Grant Olsen injury going forward now. Okay, the game against Illinois State is done. The Bison won. They're still undefeated. They're still ranked number one in the nation. They're still in the driver's seat in terms of winning the Valley Conference and getting home field in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
My take, Scotty, has been that, yes, it's a big deal that he's gone. And for all the reasons you pointed out, the heart and soul and the guts and the leader guy. But I'm not ready for Bison fans to fold the tent and say, it's done. We're over. We can't win another
match. No, absolutely not.
This is a very talented, balanced NDSU defense.
I would say if you were going to try to argue it point counterpoint, on the one hand, you've got probably the one spot on the team where the Bison could ill afford such an injury was at linebacker. That's been their thinnest position this year, and it was last year as well. So that is not a good spot for them to lose a man. However, you've got Carlton Littlejohn, who moved over from outside linebacker to that middle linebacker spot after Olsen was hurt Saturday. And all he did is go out and get over half of his career-high 16 tackles playing the Mike linebacker position. He is a gifted player. He missed a couple of games earlier this season with a slight knee injury himself. But he is a great athlete. I believe that his veteran experience will allow him to make the play calls defensively that's required of that position. And this means that Esley Thornton is going to wind up starting at that strong outside linebacker position. And Travis Beck, who's still dinged up with a bad shoulder, will play at the will or the weak linebacker outside spot. And so you've got three talented players. Esley Thornton, I think, is more than capable. He is very, very bright, as is Grant Olsen. So he'll know what to do. They don't have many backups who are healthy enough to play. But I also know that the Bison have figured out ways of working around injuries in the past. Last year, week two of the season, Colton Heagle, who I still think is arguably the best strong safety in the entire FCS, went down with that serious knee injury at Colorado State and was lost for the year in ACL. Now, he's back and playing very well this season. They had to maneuver around his injury. And then Levon Perry, who is an all-conference defensive tackle, went down late in the regular season, and the Bison had to do without him, and they still won their second straight national championship. So I know that fans are down, they're worried, but I still think the Bison are going to find ways to play at a very high level, even without Grant Olsen.
Lost in Olsen's injury is that there was another big injury Saturday earlier in the game, and Marcus Williams, the All-American cornerback, was on the sidelines in the second half in street clothes. He didn't even come out in his uniform in the second half. Craig Bohl said today at his weekly press conference, and you were there too, Scott, that Marcus is day-to-day. He's optimistic. Craig is optimistic that Marcus can play on Saturday, but he certainly didn't make it sound like it was going to be a sure thing. So that's another concern defensively for NDSU, especially going into Youngstown State, which has an excellent quarterback in Kurt Hess and a really good team, by the way, too.
Yeah, so it's an MCL sprain for Marcus. We're not sure, and Craig Bohl couldn't remember if it's the same knee that had been injured a few weeks back for Marcus. And so, yeah, I think day-to-day, I think Craig was being perfectly honest with us. It's just so early in the week, they don't know for sure if Williams will be able to play. Jordan Champion played the bulk of the game Saturday against Illinois State, and the coaches would know far better than I would, but it looked as though he did a good job. And so he would be in the mix along with C.J. Smith. That makes them thin at corner. And then Brian Shepard only took 16 snaps as the Bison nickelback. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy who, with the injury to Olsen, would figure to play more and more.
What's Shepard's injury, by the
way? Hamstring.
Okay.
And they didn't really want to play him much to try to let him heal because those hamstring injuries can be just nagging. And so he took 16 snaps. And if he can get the necessary rest and reps during practice this week, is that kind of, you know, weird marriage of just how much to work him so that he's in good position to know what to do against Youngstown State, but still healthy enough to play. I think they're going to be all right, but they will be tested because Youngstown State's passing offense is terrific. Kurt Hess is a guy who has already proven himself to be a thorn in the side of Bison football. I think back to 2 years ago when Youngstown State came here unranked to Gate City Bank Field in the Dome and handed the Bison their only loss on their way to what would turn out to be NDSU's first national championship.
Okay, I've been trying to talk Bison fans off the ledge the entire show here, saying, you know what, they'll be fine, they'll be okay. Let me take my usual negative spin, okay? I'm going to go down this road. Let's say NDSU loses to a very good Youngstown State team on Saturday. A game, by the way, I'm going to do my show from Youngstown on Friday from 2 to 5, and I'll be at the football game on Saturday blogging and doing all that stuff. But if NDSU loses the game on Saturday, will they still be ranked number one, and will they still get home field advantage in the playoffs if they go on and beat South Dakota that next week?
I don't know. I have to be brutally honest, too. I think the fact that Youngstown wound up losing at UNI 2 days ago, 22-20, Northern Iowa with a field goal in the last play of the game, won the game. That dropped Youngstown State to 8-2 and 5-1. I think that if Youngstown had come in 6-0 in the Valley and were to beat the Bison on Saturday, that that would have been more harmful than if the Bison were to lose to the Penguins now. Now, NDSU can, with a win, wrap up the regular season Missouri Valley Football Conference Championship. I think a win this Saturday puts NDSU into a locked spot for either the number one or number two seed into the playoffs, which would mean they would have home field all the way until the title game in Frisco. I think a loss really opens the door, and I think it's 50-50 then. Could they suffer a loss, and then if they were to beat South Dakota in their last regular season game on the 23rd, finish 10-1, losing to a nationally ranked team in Youngstown State, which is still number 15 in the Sports Network poll released this afternoon, would that be a big enough loss that would drop the Bison out of the top two seeds? I don't know. That's a really good question.
It wouldn't make sense that it would, but stranger things have happened.
Stranger things have happened.
And we'll have a lot of time to talk about it.
I think we're looking at the only two teams out of the Valley that are going to make the FCS playoffs now. I mean, it's looking more and more that way that the Bison and Youngstown State, barring something unforeseen, may be the only two teams out of this great league that will go. And it's too bad because this is the best league. All of the rankings prove it, but they've just beaten each other up so badly that nobody else has probably a strong enough resume to get in.
They need to stop playing defense in the Valley. Just be like the Big Sky and score 75 points a game. It works great.
Yeah.
Scotty, thank you. You are doing Bison Feedback tonight,
yeah,
correct?
Bison Feedback tonight. So we'll have a chance to talk one-on-one, and our callers will be able to visit with Craig Bohl, the head coach, tonight. And we encourage those calls. Whatever is on your mind, Craig will always field all the calls. And I'm sure what's on a lot of people's mind is, are the Bison going to be okay without Grant Olson? I think the answer is yes, but I know people are nervous. The other thing that I have found, Mike, and I'm repeating myself to a certain extent here, that this coaching staff is so good at putting the backup players into position. And what you have been seeing earlier in your show, I think, was already stated by Phil Hansen on our broadcast of the game on Saturday. He said, this just goes to show that you've got to have depth on your team if you want to continue to win. He said, Esley Thornton's going to have to come in and play well, he said. And he said, it's just the next man up. And I think that is the player's attitude. That's the coach's attitude. And if you can somehow get past the raw emotion of losing a team leader in Grant Olson, I think the Bison will still be fine.
Thank you, Scotty. As always, great stuff. Scott Miller, the voice of the Bison. It's kind of like if I went down right now at KFGO, they just dragged me out the door and bring in somebody else. Nobody even noticed that I was gone. So in a lot of ways, Grant Olson and I are the same.
It just reminds me of the old days when we were just broadcasting on Cups and Cans.
Thank you, Scotty. You have a new nickname now. Cups and Cans Miller, calling the Bison games here on KFGO.